Well, election 2024 in South Africa is already throwing up some surprises. It appears to have been a better turnout than most people were anticipating. And there's some surprise packages in all of this. Not those that people suggested. Chaos on the political front. The ANC at the moment is tracking to lose 60 of its seats in Parliament, down from 230 to around 170. But let's see what David Ansara, the chief executive of the Free Market Foundation, is making of this. David, good to see you. Early days, I'm sure that this just tells you more and more that what you guys are talking about with state proofing is even more appropriate when you get results like we are seeing in this election.
Yeah, well, Alec, it's great to be with you as always, but and still very early days. I was a bit trepidatious when you invited me to this interview, which we're recording just before 1 o'clock on Thursday. The dust is still yet to settle on these results. But I think there's some interesting trends that are emerging. I'd be happy to give you my from-the-hip analysis. But, you know, I think Chu Enlai, who is a very famous Chinese politician, he was once asked what his thoughts were on the effect of the French Revolution. And he said, it's still too soon to tell. So I think it's too soon to tell with these elections here in South Africa.
Indeed it is. But let's go into the results dashboard, because that's really, we as the public look at this. And can you see it on your screen now, David?
Yes, I can there, Alec.
Okay. When we have a look at that as members of the public, we, as you can see there, it's under 20% of the votes have been counted. But what is interesting is the ANC is now very decidedly below 50%. The DA seems to be holding its own. It's only one-fifth. We're only a fifth of the way there. 1,000-meter race, we're 200 meters in. EFF, MK, though, looks to be a surprise package, as does the Patriotic Alliance. We don't know how it's all going to end up. But as things stand right now, what do you make of this? Is there anything you can, any trend that is coming out that you can actually point us towards?
Well, look, I think it's always important to note that the early results tend to come from the urban constituencies. So there tends to be quite a big surge in the beginning of the vote counts for urban parties, most notably the DA. They tend to overperform there. I think the big takeaway story is going to be the MK party and to what extent MK is eating into existing ANC votes. I think there was an expectation that some disaffected ANC votes would have gone to the IFP, but I don't think that that would have been a guarantee. So, you know, I think you should see the success of MK very much directly correlated with the decline of the ANC in KZN. And I think there are a variety of reasons for that. You know, I think many commentators might point to the fact that Jacob Zuma himself has enormous personal popularity. There's an ethnic dimension to that. You know, if you consider during his campaign for the ANC presidency, he was one of his slogans was 100% Zulu boy. You know, so I think he definitely leans into some of those kind of traditional networks and sentiments. And then also he's been able to capture some of the existing political structures that were within the ANC and basically externalize those. And I guess the big question will be, what does he use with that power? Does he use it as leverage to get some kind of outcome from within the ANC, some kind of major concession? Does he use it to build a regional power base? You know, depending on the final numbers, you know, could you see MK forming the anchor of the provincial coalition? I think that's very interesting. And then obviously, you know, if you consider, for example, basically like kind of off-the-cuff calculations sometimes, you know, very broadly speaking, for every 5% that a party gets in KZN, you get about 1% of the vote nationally. So that, you know, works the other way around as well. So, you know, I think that's going to be a big headache for the ANC. And bear in mind that the ANC campaigned quite stridently in KZN. I mean, they were effectively camped out there in KZN for the week preceding the elections. And so I think they knew what was at stake, but even those last-ditch efforts weren't enough to help them over the line.
Well, it is interesting. We've got that up on the screen now. Only 7% of the vote. So not even one-tenth of the vote has been counted. But my goodness, MK's made a terrific start if in this horse race in particular. There's areas where you might have expected MK to be strong in rural northern KZN. It's there. We haven't yet got the heartland of the IFP coming through, but it's doing okay at 17.5%. We did think that this was going to be a four-way contest between MK, ANC, IFP, and Democratic Alliance. At the moment, though, definitely Jacob Zuma's party is making all the running. But as you say, it's early days. I suppose that the one conclusion you can draw is he certainly has had an impact, has been a disruptor.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, just to my earlier point, provinces like Limpopo, Eastern Cape, they're still to come in. And I think there'll be a big surge of votes from some of those rural areas for the ANC. So, you know, don't write off the ANC just yet, but certainly looks like we're on track for around 46%. That's sort of what some of the projections are saying. I think ENCA was also looking at about that figure as well.
On to another one of the provincial legislatures, which is also very early days and going to be hotly contested, we can now see as Gauteng, with about 8.5% of the vote counted. The ANC and the DA having a ding-dong battle here to start with. The EFF showing up okay so far, but interestingly enough, MK is also featuring in Gauteng, which is a little outside of the area where we thought it was going to be doing very well. I guess a disappointment in the early part of this is Action SA. What was your reading of Action SA's likely performance in this election?
Well, look, there were a lot of new kids on the block. So I think during 2021, Action SA enjoyed a kind of a swing of support. It was also then a new arrival. But just my impression was that they seemed to lose a bit of momentum. I think maybe a lot of disaffected DA voters might have gone with Rise Mzansi or Bosa. You know, these elements also probably nibbled into Action SA support. And yeah, I mean, certainly they had a lot of posters and a lot of presence and so on. But I don't know if that always translates into votes. I guess one of my observations was that there was a bit of a lack of differentiation among some of these small votes, these small parties. It wasn't quite clear what you were getting different. Rise and Zanzi's slogan was, well, we need new leaders, but I would say we need new ideas. Very much Rise and Zanzi, I think, was sort of operating within the slipstream of some of the prevailing orthodoxy in terms of issues like land expropriation and BEE and so on. It seems to be very unclear what you were getting. But Joe, I think just to the earlier point that you're making, this, I think, is we're entering into a period of fragmentation in South African politics. And R.W. Johnson at the Business Conference earlier in the year, he said that what we're seeing is the secularization of South African politics, that the old loyalties are starting to weaken, people voting according more to their interests or their identity. Other concerns rather than for this kind of broad church ANC, which tried to be everything to everyone. And I think some of the internal tensions and schisms within the ANC are now starting to flow over into the broader political environment. And I think that's mostly a positive thing. I think it's going to introduce quite a bit of instability, maybe a lot of uncertainty, and could even lead to a policy deadlock, as Maurice Rich from the Institute of Race Relations has written about recently. But I would say that deadlock is better than the current situation where you have the ANC wielding its majority to drive through pernicious and damaging policies like national health insurance, for example.
Well, the big provincial debate in the Western Cape is, can the DA hold on to its majority in the province, with a coming up for a third of the vote now counted, it's just above 50%. Cape Town isn't in there yet. Some of the other areas where the DA is strong haven't come through yet, but the ANC is doing okay at 20%. The Patriotic Alliance, some thought they would be doing a lot stronger than the 11% that they're at the moment, but the EFF pretty much out of the picture in the Western Cape. What's your reading on what we might expect from the Western Cape? Clearly, it's far too early to predict whether the DA will hold on to its 50% majority. But with some of the other parties that it gets on with, and taking the Freedom Front and the ACDP as obvious allies, a coalition government here, perhaps, or even the DA majority? What's your thoughts?
Look, I think it's possible that they'll hold on to that majority. I mean, I think the PA is something they'll be concerned about, particularly in more rural areas. But, you know, if they do fall slightly below 50%, they might have natural allies in terms of Freedom Front Plus or ACDP. But what will those small parties get in exchange for their support? The Freedom Front Plus is the only party, apart from the referendum party, that's openly supportive of the idea of Cape independence. Maybe they would put a referendum on the agenda, on the bargaining table. But possibly, you know, that they might be happy to go along, to get along with the DA in exchange for a cabinet position, something like that. I mean, so you are going to see, just broadly across the various provinces and nationally, a lot of horse trading and the dominant parties trying to offer goodies to entice parties to come over and support them. So, you know, if you look at metros like Tshwane, for example, and I think that's probably a good predictor of what national South African politics is going to look like. A lot of broken institutions, a lot of dysfunctionality, a lot of policy incoherence. And, you know, even somebody as capable as Celia Brink is really struggling to lead that city out of its financial and governance hole that it's been in. So, you know, I think that that's probably a good prediction of what we're in for nationally. But I think that the big story is the decline of ANC hegemony. And back in my youth, when I was at the University of Cape Town, I wrote a master's thesis on the decline of single-party dominance in India, the Indian National Congress, from 1947 to 1977, was the prevailing hegemonic force in Indian politics. And they were invincible until one day they weren't. These changes happened gradually and then suddenly. And what replaced the Indian National Congress in 1977 was the Rainbow Coalition of various opposition groups. That government didn't last very long, only about 18 months. But it broke that invincibility, that aura that surrounded the Congress Party. And also, these organizations, the Congress in India, African National Congress in South Africa, they try to style themselves as not merely political parties, but as national movements, so that they are the expression of the popular will. And when the electorate punishes them at the polls, it sort of damages that brand. And the Congress Party was able to come back in the 80s and the 90s, but today is almost an insignificant force in India. So I think the glue that holds the ANC together is patronage, access to resources, and then there's this ideological component as well, the National Democratic Revolution. But once you start to dissolve that glue and the incentives start to change, you might see a very rapid implosion of the ANC in the short term.
It's an extraordinary story that we are witnessing here in South Africa. How are you seeing, at this early stage as well, given that it looks almost certain that the ANC will not get closer, will rather get closer to 40% than 50%, how are you seeing the coalitions shaping up after this election? The fear amongst investors, of course, is that the ANC will get together with MK and the EFF. If you add them all together, at the moment they get desperately close to that two-thirds majority, which could be the end of our constitution. On the other hand, the business sector and the international community and investors are hoping that the ANC and the DA will do some kind of a partnership together. outside of that, it doesn't look like the ANC is going to be able to find other smaller parties. So enough of, there's not enough votes there for them to actually get over the line at 51%. So coalitions are, here we come, but what are they going to look like in your view?
Yeah, I guess the big question is, will the multi-party charter constituent parties, will they be able to hold together in the face of what I'm sure will be very tempting offers from the ANC to various parties? For example, the IFP might have enough. You know, will they be able to resist? We did see in South African history, the IFP was part of the government of national unity in the 90s. Buthelezi was a cabinet minister himself. So I wouldn't rule that out necessarily. And what impact that it would have on the coherence of the MPC going forward, unity of it, I think would be pretty negative. I think something that I've been thinking about is a point that was raised by my colleague, the head of policy at the Free Market Foundation, Martin van Staart, that we sort of have this false dichotomy. On the one hand, says there's the doomsday coalition, ANC, EFF, or maybe MK in the mix there, and that the DA is saying, well, we should do whatever's within our power to avoid that scenario. And the implication there is that the DA could join a government of national unity or a broad coalition with the ANC to keep the EFF and MK out. But as van Staden says, that's a false dichotomy. There are other options on the table for the DA that it can still use its leverage. I think the biggest asset that the DA has is that it's the anti-corruption party. It's the good governance party. And if it were to be lumped together in a coalition with the ANC, it's not clear to me that the DA would be able to resist some of those forces within the ANC. And they might put concessions on the table up front or demand concessions up front. But, you know, the ANC is a Machiavellian bunch. They might kind of run circles around them, right? And then it would be very difficult for the DA to disassociate itself from the malfeasance of the next government. So there are other options on the table. One is a confidence in supply. We have a minority ANC government where the DA agrees to support the ANC in parliament when it comes time to elect president or to pass the budget. This is a sort of a thin confidence in supply agreement. So Herman Pretorius at the Institute of Race Relations, he's illustrated or sketched a scenario where you could have a thick confidence in supply where the DA has the chair role in various portfolio committees in parliament. But that arrangement would enable the DA to remain as the strong official opposition, holding the government to account, but also using its leverage, using its size and keeping the ANC constrained. So I think that would be a much more preferable option, at least from the way I see it.
I've put up on the screen, as things stand right now, a very rough indication of the seats that would be allocated. And it's interesting the point you make about the multi-party coalition, because that's, as far as the leading parties are concerned, Democratic Alliance, the IFP, Freedom Front Plus, and Action SA. But just the math would tell you that the ANC, if it got together, if the PA, if the Patriotic Alliance continues to do as well as it's doing, add that and the IFP and the Freedom Front Plus to the ANC's numbers, and they've got a government. They've got over 50%, not having to do the DA or EFF or MK deals. So there's lots of different permutations. It is early days. I guess politics has never been this interesting in South Africa before, but we are heading into a new era. And David, thank you for joining us so early after the elections had, after the results had actually been begun being provided to us. Just a final take, if I interpret it properly, we are going to have coalitions. The ANC is going to have to do some pretty nifty footwork to find out who it's going to be partners with. And the big story so far in this election is the very strong showing of Jacob Zuma's Mkhonto we Sizwe party.
Yeah, and I think regardless of how the dust eventually settles, Alec, I think a lot of the headwinds that have been facing South Africa are going to continue. So the breakdown in infrastructure, the rising crime problems, the economic stagnation, but it's up to us as ordinary South Africans to start building power outside of the state. I think politics is often very entertaining and compelling to watch, and it obviously affects our lives very directly. But we can't outsource our responsibility to politicians entirely. We need to state-proof ourselves so that we can build independence and flourishing and build the future that we want to see in South Africa.
And state-proofing means, it's entertainment, but it isn't going to impact your life that strongly. David Ansara is the Chief Executive of the Free Market Foundation. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.